Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
What we've been doing over the last couple of Sundays, and it'll be this Sunday and next Sunday, we've been diving into a little kind of a mini-series called Household. And basically the idea of the series is to talk about the things that we hold to as a house, as God's house. And really, my hope in this series at the conclusion is that whoever would be attending, and many are new to our community, they would really know who we were, what we're about, where we're going. It's important, we think. If you come here and this is a place that you want to call home, that you really understand what this is all about, because we know that God is doing something pretty special here, and we think it's really important that you know what that's about and where we're heading. So that's really been the point of this whole series called Household. Last week, I talked about foundations, and the week before, I talked about faith. Both of those messages are on our podcast on the internet, so you can go to those and listen to them at any point. When I was talking about foundation last week, I used a metaphor, and I'm going to risk using it again, understanding this is the proviso that I am not a carpenter, and I don't really understand what it is that I'm saying. So I talked about foundation last week, and the idea that we have a number of things that are our foundation, you know, like the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, living together in life and in community, and so those are foundations for us. And today what I want to do is I want to talk about framework, and you've all seen houses that are being built, and you know the framework is going up, and really that framework really helps to define the shape and the character of the building. And so for us, what I want to talk about today are our core values. We have seven of them, and really they are our framework, if you will. They help to shape who we are. They talk a little bit about our character and so on. So that's where we're going to head today. It's going to be kind of a practical time together today, but important for you to know those things that we value the highest. You know, at the very beginning when we talked about values and vision and all that kind of stuff, you know, the temptation was to come up with a really kind of pithy vision statement, you know, that sort of two-line statement that defines where you're going, your trajectory for the rest of your life, and it's kind of cool. And we right away decided against that. We thought that rather than coming up with a vision statement, our desire really is to find our vision through the Holy Spirit. And we think that really is a daily piece, you know, that we'll just listen to God, and we want to be flexible, and we don't want to define the way that things need to look or have to look from our perspective. We just want to discover what God has for us. So we decided instead that where we wanted to be was being guided by values, those core values to us, the things that we hold to be important, that really form and shape our character as a community. Now, there are tons of values one could choose from, for sure, but these seven really, we felt, characterized who we are, and you need to know that as we talk about these values, this isn't about us having arrived at any one of them. We're not anywhere near that. We are a work in progress, you and I. And that's going to continue until we meet with Jesus, for sure. But these are places that we settle on. These are values that we hold to. These are places that we would like to be in and at. And you know, my hope is today that as I'm going through them, that you will recognize some of these values within this community that you've been attending, that you will see that some of these things are being worked out. Again, not always perfectly, but we are this place in progress, and that, I think, is exciting. So let me begin. As I said, there are seven core values. Now, last Sunday when I talked about foundation, one of the things I talked about is that one of those foundation pieces is that we hold to life within the body of Christ. We hold to life within the body of Christ. And our first value that we'll look at this morning really talks about that, and that is about community. We recognize that God has designed us to be together. At Living Waters, we care for one another. We honor one another, we are encouragers, we are challengers, and we are there for one another. We love each other. While we find broader community at our large gatherings like this, we find our deepest community in smaller groups, our life groups, where we intentionally engage with one another in meaningful relationship. Our desire is to see everyone cared for and caring for others. That sounds like community to me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because, as I said, I talked a bit about community last week, and this coming Sunday, Luke is going to be talking about family, And so he'll be talking more specifically about community and how we all kind of live life together and work that out. So that'll be this coming Sunday. But let me just say this, that community is absolutely central to who we are and where we're going. We just believe that God has called us to this place where we are to form strong, authentic Christian community. I've got just a couple things that I want to say here in terms of this value. The first one is to do this, to encourage you to connect. Now, we do that every Sunday here on as we introduce community time and so on, but we really want to encourage you to connect. Relationships take effort. They don't just happen. And so that means that we've got to really engage with one another. Take the opportunities that are there. Sometimes it's 7.5 minutes in community time, but it's enough time maybe to go and shake the hand of somebody that you don't know, or to maybe connect with somebody that you know is new and invite them out for lunch or to your house for toast or tea or something like that. But take advantage of the opportunities that are there. Reuben mentioned that we have a welcome lunch coming up in October. It's just a great place to meet others who are new. We have a newcomers life group at our home. There are all sorts of life groups that you can join. But my point in all of this is that in order for community to be vibrant and in order for you to be a part of it, you really have to engage. It's important to do that. I get concerned when people talk to me and they say, well, I just don't feel like I'm fitting in. And then I'll talk with them and I'll find out that actually they haven't engaged with anybody. They haven't even really taken anybody's hand and said hi, or they haven't joined a life group or whatever. And so I encourage them to do those things. The other part of that is this, is that it's important to show up if you want community. You got to kind of be here. You got to hang around with people a little bit. And you know, it's the same with relationships. The more often that you connect with people and the more often that you do that in a row consistently, the more you get to know people. And so we encourage that. And I know in this day and age, a lot of people, you know, church is maybe once a month. That's just the way it fits with the lifestyle. Experts actually tell you that probably 40% of a community or congregation like that, like this, is not here on any given Sunday. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 40%. And that's probably very true of us. But you can imagine that if you only come once a month and 40% of the community isn't here on that given Sunday, you're missing a whole bunch of people that you have the potential of connecting with. So we think showing up is really important. Not only for relationship, obviously. We think it's important that we're here to hear the word of God, that we're here to be a community and to worship together and to know the unifying spirit of God together. So we just encourage you to make every effort you can to connect with others. It's important for you. It's important for them. And to show up and just to participate in the community that God is building here. Let me move on to our second value, and that is authenticity. And by the way, these values aren't in any order of priority. They just happen to be the way that they are. We believe that authenticity, being who we are, is absolutely fundamental to the health of the church. Absolutely fundamental. This is what the value says. We desire to be the real thing, followers of Jesus who say what we do and do what we say. We're not interested in masks or any form of hypocrisy. Authenticity means we are honest with one another about how we are doing and how we are feeling, even when it's hard. You know, it is our responsibilities as believers in Christ to be real with Him and to be real with each other. That's how it works, whatever it looks like. Whatever it looks like. You know, this is no surprise to you, but perfect people don't exist. They don't exist. And so don't pretend that you are perfect, because you're not, and neither am I. We are who we are. You know, we all come in our brokenness, don't we? We all have our good weeks and our down weeks. We have our good days and our bad days. Some of us are in good health. Some of us have rectal cancer. Well, let's just be honest with one another. Why would we come to this house and pretend to be something that we're not? So that day and age where, you know, you come to church all primped up and polished and looking really good and tell the kids to be quiet in the car really loudly, but when you come into the church, it's all lovey-dovey, you know, all of that stuff? Come on. Let's just be real with one another. That's where true community finds love for one another. We just are who we are. As I've said before, if you wake up in bed and you can hardly get out of bed and throw your house coat on, but you know you're supposed to be in church, come to church with your house coat on. It's totally cool, and I'm dead serious. What really counts is connecting with one another and just being who we are. Look, we don't need to pretend. We don't need to pretend. That is one of the hardest things for us to learn, is we just don't need to pretend. We just can be who we are, and you are loved just the way you are, just the way you are. Not interested in playing church. We are the church. And yeah, we're busted up sometimes, but when we're honest with each other and we're honest with God, some amazing things can happen. So let's just be real. It's a very cool place to be. I want you to know that we will be real with you. When I say we, the leadership of this community, we're going to be very honest with you. We will be transparent. We'll tell you the way it is in our own lives. And that's because we believe here that we need to lead by example, and so we will. And you will know shortly, if you don't know already, that Luke is really imperfect. Yeah. He's a mess. He's a mess over there. So come on, let's just be real. Let me just talk about this, because I think it ties in a little bit to authenticity, and it's important to what I believe it's critical to community. You'll discover here as we go along that we are not pastor-centric, which means that it's not about the lead pastor speaking every Sunday, and it's not about that at all. In fact, we have a speaking team here, and this is all about us coming together, you know, shoulder to shoulder. It's about us doing the things that Jesus has called us to do. We all have our responsibilities, and we know what those are, and we carry them out to the best of our ability, but there is no difference. You know, the whole pastor laity thing, gone. It's not there. We just do this together. And that, to me, has just been real with one another. And so that's how we want to progress together, shoulder to shoulder. Let me talk about another value. It's called spiritual formation. We are a people who journey to be more like Jesus. We respect the notion that we are at different places along the way and celebrate the fact that each of us have chosen the same path. Our path is one of experiencing God in his fullness, of learning to be Christ-like, and then applying what we have learned in love. We are a people of prayer. We are a people who follow the ways of the Bible and understand our spiritual formation is not complete without a disciplined life that includes both. To know Jesus more is to hunger for more. We wish to be a people hungry for spiritual formation. You know, we often talk about our community as disciples. Well, we all are disciples in Christ. And as it was in the early days of the church, the disciples followed Jesus. Jesus was their teacher. And so Jesus teaches us through his Spirit and through his words. We are disciples. And, you know, we understand that we're all at different places along the road. In fact, we have a number of people who are a part of our community who are not yet disciples of Jesus. They're showing up because they've heard about Jesus. They're interested in learning more about Jesus. And we say, you are welcome here. We're so glad. It's awesome. We've got people that have been around, you know, Christendom for a long time in their life. And it's great. Experienced believers, awesome. Glad that you are here. We got new believers here, just freshly baptized. Awesome. We got a lot of people coming to this community who have given church a chance and then given up on it because somehow they've been burned. Somehow they've been hurt. And we would like to say you are welcome in this house. We believe that this is a place of healing, a place for us to find wholeness and to discover what community is really all about. So we all come from all sorts of different places and perspectives. The cool thing is that we're heading in the right direction, and that excites me. One of the reasons that we're here, of course, is to learn from the Bible. And last week I talked about how the Word of God is fundamental to who we are. That's why we're doing the Gospel of Mark. You know, we started Mark in September of last year. And we're going to be picking it up, as we said, in a couple of weeks, and we're at chapter 9. Yeah, but the cool thing is, so somebody's going, oh my gosh, are they slow? But look, the idea is that we're going through Mark because Mark is incredible. It's this treasure chest, and we're just discovering all sorts of cool things. So for us, learning about the Bible, what is the Bible really saying? We hold that carefully in our spirits here, and so we teach that way. But we want you to know that this isn't about head knowledge. That's not what it's about at all, but it's about heart conversion. that brings us closer to the one that we follow. So part of that whole place of spiritual formation is just learning together. So Sunday gatherings will be one place to do that. There will be other opportunities throughout the year at different times as well. I mentioned earlier we have a speaking team. There are four of us on that speaking team. Luke is one of them. Leanne McAllister is another. And Rick Watts is another, who's a professor at Regent, and myself. And so you won't just hear from me. In fact, you'll hear from me maybe once every 4 weeks, or if Luke has his way, every 10 weeks. The idea is to provide a variety of perspectives and thoughts, and we're open to that. We think that that's kind of a cool way to do it. And so that's how we approach our teaching here. Important stuff. We mentioned in that particular value the importance of being in the Bible and praying. Now, we don't think that those are disciplines that have to be regulated. In fact, our desire is that those disciplines come from our heart because we're growing close to loving Jesus. But we just believe that all of us ought to be into the Word, and we all ought to be praying. But there's no judgment here. There's no rules and requirements. We just say, get to know Jesus, and both of those things will come together. And that's pretty cool. Let me talk about worship for a moment, our value of worship. We are a people who recognize God for who He is, and because of that, we are drawn naturally to a place of worship. Our worship doesn't have to fit a particular box, and it is open to expressions of the Spirit. We believe worship is expressed throughout our whole lives. This is true, you know, when you know Jesus, when you are in the presence, the holy presence of God, you're just naturally drawn to worship. It's just a part of our DNA and the way that we're made. Now, we would be the very first to tell you that worship is not confined to a set of songs that we sing on Sunday. It's not confined to that. Worship is rather a genuine expression of love and adoration to God, and it finds many forms, many forms. Now, having said that, we find it is often that when we sing in unison words of worship, as we did this morning, words that affirm God's sovereignty, words that remind us of His mercy and grace in our lives, and when we do that together, that we really just sense the power of His presence. So music does find a significant place here in our community. But we call it music. It's just part of our worship. We worship throughout our community, throughout the gathering, in a variety of different places and throughout our lives. Now, just so you know this, if you're new to our community, you know, some different things can happen during worship that you may or may not be used to, depending on your tradition. For example, you'll see some will hold their hands up and praise that way. You know, I've had people come to me who that is a completely foreign piece to them altogether, and they think that there's something wrong. Like, you know, somebody's putting up, could I have your attention, please? But we raise our hands in worship, and so for some, that's something that we do. Others, during our worship time, may bow, they may kneel, they may sit, they may stand, they may do any number of those kinds of things. Every once in a while, you may hear someone praying out loud beside you, which is cool, and sometimes they'll be speaking in their spiritual language, which is cool. Sometimes the Lord will impress a particular message on a person's heart for the congregation, as is exactly what happened this morning with Nicole, and they'll check that out with one of us, and if we think it's right, as I did this morning, then we have that shared, and that's a way that God connects with His people. So a variety of things can happen during the time that we're lifting our voices in unison and our hearts in unison before God, and I think that really is cool. We just want to respect and be a part of what it is that the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. Here's the bottom line, though. We want you to know that all expressions are welcome here. You don't have to stand. You don't have to sit. You don't have to put up your hands. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to join me in dancing every once in a while. Okay, now I know you haven't seen that recently, but I'm feeling this is the year. So if I'm dancing over there, don't feel like you have to join in, but if you'd like to, feel free. So it's just that expression before God, right? As David danced before the Lord, although we will keep our clothes on. You get what I'm saying, don't you? Okay. So the value of worship is really a natural bridge to a value of generosity because the two tie in together. Let me just go to that. We value generosity. As Jesus was generous, so too do we wish to be a generous people. Our desire is to be known for our generosity so that God may be glorified through us. generous as we give to the church and the work of God, generous with each other in ways that are a testimony to our love for one another, generous with those who are around us and who may decide what Christianity looks like based on our behavior. We wish to be generous because Jesus is generous. You know, Jesus lived a life of generosity to the point of the cross for us. And so it follows that we ought to be living generous lives. And you know, so often we equate generosity with our money. And while this value kind of captures a little bit of that, it's really more about our whole lives. It's about us being generous and open-handed as a people of God. You know, tight-fisted Christianity runs in opposition to the gospel. See, his people, his church, ought to be the very forefront of generosity because Jesus was the definition of generosity. There should be no holding back as far as we're concerned as believers in Christ. Now, let me talk a little bit about tithing because that's probably going through your head right now. You will have noticed, if you've been here for a while, that we don't talk much about tithes and offerings. You will have noticed that we don't take time in our service to pass the plate or the offering bag around. Now, we used to do that, but collectively, we've made the decision that we're not going to do that anymore, and here's the reason why. Many people will come here, and they are new to church, but they've heard things about church, and often what they think is that the church is all about money. It's all about just getting money. Well, of course, that's far from fact, but we don't want people to even have to consider that. And so we don't pass the bag or the plate around. We have offering boxes, which are at the back and in the lobby. And the only time we really mention it is in the bulletin. And so that's just the way it is. So we recognize in all of this that as believers in Jesus, we know that it is a responsibility to tithe and to give offerings, our first fruit. That's just biblical. It's set out in the Bible. And so we anticipate that we just know that we're to do that. And every once in a while, we'll talk a bit about it or teach a bit about it. But we know that that's just a responsibility that we have. We know that everything that we have belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us in the first place. And so our tithes and our offering, that's our first fruit. It's a recognition of that. It also recognizes this, that God has given us, blessed us as incredibly as he has, not for us to be tight-fisted and hold back, but to release that and to touch the lives of others. I should tell you this, that often when I speak with some of my counterparts elsewhere in the district and they find out that we don't pass the offering plate around, they go, "What in the world are you doing? Are you crazy?" And what I tell them is the truth. We've been doing this now for 2 years, and the giving in this community has never decreased. In fact, it has increased. So we don't need to talk about money, you see? Because it's in our heart, it's in our spirit, and that's where it needs to come from. It really does. I want to just say this, that a spirit of generosity rests on this community, and I hope it's something that we just don't take for granted. We are a very unique community because I believe the Lord has got a specific plan and purpose for us. But I'll tell you what, because of your giving, because of your generosity, we're able to move ahead with the things that the Lord has called us to. And that is initiatives that we undertake, but it is also in giving outside of this church. Again, the idea not for us to hold on to, but to give away. So, for example, every year we support the Langley Food Bank. We support the Gateway of Hope, and we give to the Langley Christmas Bureau. Over the last number of years, we've actually given away tens of thousands of dollars to those organizations. Yes! So it's cool. That's what we should do. So what we should do. It's not for us to, gain any credit. It is because people know that as we give, the glory goes to God because he is generous to us. It's a cool deal. Each year, we support the development of a water well. We've done them in Africa. We've done one in India. And we're really excited about a new project coming up, which is in Honduras. And this project is going to cost our community, get ready for this, $30,000. I'm so pumped. Because we're gonna give that money away. And this well is in a community in a city that is virtually going to help thousands of people. So you see how our generosity, the spirit of generosity, goes out from this place and affects people far away. It's because God has given to us, and we can give to others, and I love that. We've got 12 global workers that we support around the world, and we're generous with them because they're out there doing the work of Jesus, and we're supporting them to doing that, and that's a very cool piece. We also help other Christian communities around us. There are no turf wars in our language. Fraser Point is just down the way here, and it's a great church. Bill and his group are there, and you know, when they were first starting out, we thought, man, we need to help them, and so we gave them $5,000. Said, these guys, this is awesome. Pray for those guys. You know, they're doing the work of Jesus. It's very cool. And just a few weeks ago, we went to Urban Road, which meets at Colossus on Sundays. And Anthony and Michelle are doing a great job there. And we just knew they needed some help, so we wrote them a check for $10,000. See, it's not about us. It's about the work of Jesus. It's about us in this community being generous with others and knowing that the work of God comes first. And so those are the kinds of things that we can invest in. We also, not too long ago, gave $10,000 to the hospital for a hospital bed. It's because they needed it. They had a room, but they had no beds, and so we bought them a bed. So cool. Practical stuff. Somebody's lying in a Living Waters bed right now. Jesus, heal them. Wouldn't that be cool? It's known as the healing bed. You lie down on that, and man, you're done. So good. You need to know we have an active social justice team here, and they are working, and they're pinpointing other areas that we can help, other areas that we can engage in as a community, and not only in by giving money, but also engaging in practically helping, as we do with the Gateway of Hope. We do a Saturday shift every Saturday, Living Waters people there cutting carrots and chopping up potatoes and serving food, and come on, that's what we're talking about. So it's practical, it's financial, it's all of that. It's all about generosity. Man, I got to be careful because I get too excited. We value recognizing and releasing. Each believer has been given a gift or gifts by the Lord to allow them to help build the church, fulfill its vision, to reach those who are far from God, and to help serve and care for a hurting world. In short, make a difference. We value not only the recognition of these God-given gifts, but also the releasing of these gifts. When we are empowered and released in the things that God has called us to, amazing things happen. They really do. We believe that the life and the health of the community is contingent in a large part to the recognition and the releasing of the gifts that are amongst us. See, when we serve one another, when we encourage one another with our gifts, that speaks life into the body of Christ. And it comes back because it speaks life to us as well. Do you know, in this community right now, we have well over 200 volunteers. 200 volunteers. It's amazing. And it's because of that help that we're able to do the things that we are able to do. Listen, we're given gifts, each of us, so that they will be used. And if they are not used, what happens is that they sit dormant. And an important part of what God has given us is not engaged. And when that happens, we're all missing something. You know, because the definition of the body of Christ is all of these parts working together, doing something together. It's important that we see the gifts recognized and released. So if you don't know what your gift is, let us know. We have a little course called Network, and it will help you determine what your gift is, and we'll get you connected to releasing it, whether it's in this community or outside of it. And if you have a gift and you know what it is, come talk to us. We'll make sure that you get engaged. It's important to all of us. The final value that I want to talk about this morning is really central to who we are and our mission as a community of believers. We value the Great Commission. We are a people who understand that the church is not limited by its building or by a street address. The church is us, and we are called to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those who are far from God who live there. We see the sphere of our influence ranges from our backyard to our world. We are passionate about the gospel that has set us free. See, the Great Commission is for each of us, and it is the call upon His church, the Church of Jesus. As a community, we are on an assignment, and we are called to share the good news. Now, we believe that the primary way that people come to Christ and are discipled well is through relationship. And so we're big on relationship. See, every believer has the capacity to know others, to love others as Jesus has loved us. Each believer has the capacity to introduce light into a dark world. And so this ultimately is our purpose, both as individuals and as a Jesus-centered community. We are here to say all are welcome in this house. All are welcome in this house. In other words, we stand open and desiring to see those who are seeking the truth to come and join us. And sometimes people will come and they will be pretty broken up and they will be pretty confused. But our job is to say, you are welcome here. You are welcome in this house. See, the church is not about walls. These walls just hold the roof up. But really, it's flat. We want everybody to be able to come and to learn the truth. We've done the very best we can in terms of gathering points. This room is the size it's going to stay. We're not going to blow out a wall and make it bigger. We just think that this is how we find community best, one with the other. And so we have multiple services. So we do 4 services in a day. And the other thing that we do is that we've planted a church. We've taken the Great Commission out of our purview here, and we've started a church in Burnaby called City Lights, and lots of people there have come to know Jesus and have been baptized. And you know, we have a plan that within this year we're going to plant another church somewhere close by. It's all part of us walking out the Great Commission call, because we are to bring light into the dark places. And this city is full of dark places, and God is sending us out as a community and as individuals. We just need to do it. We just need to do it. So, in all of this, we must be prepared to pray. You and I, we need to have a great faith, and we need to be ready to be stretched, and I believe particularly stretched in this year that is ahead of us. You and I have to be prepared to be uncomfortable, because I think we're going to be facing some things that are going to be pretty uncomfortable, things that are going to be stretching our faith to the max. My heart has always been that this house would be real messy. Real messy. See, because if we're squeaky clean, chances are we're not doing what we ought to do. We need to be messy. We need to be a place where people who come, they can find wholeness and healing and strength. They can find the truth of Jesus. So get ready, church. Get ready. And don't be afraid not to invite somebody. You need to invite people to come and to be a part of what God is doing here and part of becoming whole. So in summary, the Church of Jesus is meant to influence a lost world. His church is meant to be a place where we can be real with one another, where we can grow in generous love for one another and those who are around us, where we can be challenged and move ahead in our own journey with Jesus, because we are not there yet. A place where we can find our passion and see it released, so that we can have an influence in a lost world. A place, this church needs to be a place where we can learn to love the broken and have a faith, a real faith for their healing and their restoration. It's His church. And His church is us. Would you stand up, everybody? Let me pray. Let me pray with the words of Paul. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As you leave this house today, know that the hand of God is upon you and you are loved and released to be light in darkness. If not before, we'll see you this coming Sunday. God bless you, everybody.